Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Let's go up to Knoxville, check in with our buddy Jason Swain. SwainEvent.com is his website. Check him out there. Very interactive, multimedia.
Hollywood.
I mean, his nickname's Hollywood, too. Marquise Brown's got nothing on Jason Swain, although they both did play wide receiver in college.
Swain's a little bigger.
And slower.
I didn't say that.
What's up, Swain? How are you?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Well, we're good. So put a wrap on Tennessee football spring practice for us. I'll tell you this. One thing that I liked hearing was, number one, everybody is blown away by Eric Gray, even though we haven't seen it. I've seen it in high school. But number two, Quaveris Crouch firing through the offensive line. It just looked like his play recognition is faster than you would expect a freshman, especially a freshman that played running back in high school.
Yeah, you have players that you have to say, you know, whoa, boy, too. And players you have to say, sick him, come on, be aggressive, please make a play, come on, show your athleticism. And Quaveris Crouch is not a guy you have to say, sick him, too. You just say, whoa, boy. And, you know, you teach him some plays, you teach him some techniques, and then you let him go. And his athleticism kind of showed on Saturday and proves why he was such a highly talented recruit and why he was so important to this class. He's going to be special, man. He's going to be a problem in the SEC for opposing offenses, for sure.
What do you think? You look at this, I guess, spring practice, spring game, everything culminating. What do you think is maybe the biggest positive out of spring for Jeremy Pruitt and this team?
Well, the biggest positive is that no one got hurt. I mean, that's always the number one
right.
important thing.
That's the number one goal.
for every coach. I remember when Texas A&M, you know, kind of rebuilt their whole entire football stadium, and they didn't have a spring game that year, and you know, and many people looked at them like, oh, man, they're missing out. But actually, they won because they didn't get anyone hurt or risk anyone getting hurt at all. So that's the most important thing. I mean, you're talking about a program over the last 3 or 4 years probably led the country or was in the top five with starters losing time because of injury. And so over the last year and then heading into Pruitt's second year, now we haven't had those, you know, significant injuries to our starters. Now, Brandon Kennedy had tore his ACL, and you know, we know about the unfortunate health situation of Trey Smith, but it's certainly better. And so that's the number one thing for me. Number two, I mean, it looks like the guys are getting bigger. Pruitt inherited a roster that had several turnovers at the weight and conditioning coach position, and they're getting some consistency now with Craig Fitzgerald. You know, Jared settled down there in the second half and made some good throws. Wide receivers are going to be very, very important, and the team will lean on them to be productive. Still got questions offensive line, still got questions at defensive line. I think the secondary has a chance to be really, really, really special. With Bryce Thompson, Lante Taylor, Adela McCullough showing off as a true freshman back there. Javon Flowers was really, really good his freshman year. Has some injuries he had to battle through, but his sophomore season, I mean, back seven has been really good.
You know, it's interesting talking about health. It's been fun to kind of watch the mutual admiration, the kind of love fest between Jawan Jennings and T. Martin. Back and forth. But Jawan Jennings clearly back in good health and certainly looks like a dog out there.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of respect for each other. I mean, that's what it takes. If you're going to get to a guy like Jawan, Jawan is such a joy to coach if he respects you, because he's going to give you everything he has, and he'll run through a brick wall for you. You know, David Johnson was a great fit for him because David had success coaching players that play in the NFL today, but for T. Martin to come in, being a quarterback on the team that won a championship, seeing the success he had at USC, not only recruiting at a high level, but developing, you know, Biletnikoff finalists and first round picks, and now, you know, there's a guy that took Antonio Brown's place, who's number one receiver at Pittsburgh and see Mark and say, hey, you know, I've recruited him, develop him. So if you're on, you know, you'll have a choice but to be humble and to take everything in. And I know he's very, very happy in his last year. He's the leader of that room.
Jason Swain with us, SwainEvent.com. Also, T. Martin on the recruiting trail. I keep hearing positive things there. Could they get a potential grad transfer wide receiver?
Well, Vilas Jones was in town over the weekend. He's from Alabama, but he went out to USC, and he's transferring. So, you know, Tennessee's wide receivers, although they're going to be really good this year, they may lose four or maybe five. Who knows? They're going to lose a few guys after this season, and it's very, very important to kind of restock the cupboard. And do you do that with all true freshmen, or do you get a guy like Vilas Jones that understands T. Martin and kind of knows what T. Martin wants? And he can come in, sit out a year, or you know, get a waiver like everybody else is doing and play. but you know, I think that'd be a good fit for Tennessee. But there's a great opportunity for some of the best receivers in the country to come in and play early. So T. Martin's on the prowl. You know, he's looking for speed. That's one thing that room definitely needs.
Yeah, and you bring up an interesting point. Just thinking about next year's recruiting class, and they're going to need several wide receivers in that class. You were a part of a highly recruited wide receiver position class at Tennessee. Kind of walk us through that from your perspective, first person. You went through it. You knew there were other dogs that were committed and signing and didn't affect you, right? So kind of walk us through that decision-making process. Will it be difficult to sign several highly skilled, highly rated guys?
I think if you have a quarterback, I think you won't have a problem. I mean, because any wide receiver understands you better have someone that can deliver the football to you. Kelly Washington last year was 0-2, so that's the season that I saw. And I saw that he would be gone, and there was opportunities for me to come in and play. You know, I got a little bit of a surprise when I got to Tennessee. You know, I didn't know James Banks was going to play wide receiver. I didn't know Mark Jones was going to be used on offense and play wide receiver too. So that was two more guys in the wide receiver meeting room I wasn't expecting. You know, I knew about Brett Smith on the day of signing day.
Yeah.
Like I knew of Robert Meacham on the day of signing day.
Yeah.
But I honestly just did not care at all because I was confident in my abilities and, you know, I know what I was bringing to the table, and I was looking forward to compete. So those guys wound up being my best friends, and we pushed each other every day for 4 years and kept each other become really, really good.
And to go down that point, I mean, that's where Harrison Bailey is helping out, right?
Heck yeah. I mean, if you're Harrison Bailey, you're trying to recruit offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, receivers, running back. You know, this is what we're seeing around college football over the last 5-10 years is that, you know, you get these quarterbacks, they commit early, and then they essentially recruit like LeBron James, you know, trying to create a super team. So if I'm a wide receiver, I definitely look at Tennessee. When I'll come out, you know, I talked to Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus recruited me to LSU, and Chris Leake was, him and I were going to come to Tennessee. And then, you know, he changed his mind and decided to go to Florida, and he was recruiting me to Florida. This stuff happens. And, Tennessee has playing time to offer. Like, they have legitimate playing time where guys can go in and be a star day one.
Seems like there's some truth serum being handed out in Knoxville. We'll get to the Rick Barnes truth. But I wanted to bring up David Ubben is doing some great exit interviews on The Athletic. And I don't know if you've read some of them, but Jonathan Kongbo, he talked to him about kind of the drama that was there under Butch Jones and how it's changed with Jeremy Pruitt in charge. I'm not sure if you read that specific exit interview or not, but I thought some of the things that were said in it were blatantly honest. And did you see pieces of it and say, yep, that's accurate kind of thing?
No, I read it. Yeah. And I think it's pretty much what we know already about what was going on inside the program, but you know, it's just different handed from someone that actually lived it and was really affected a lot by it, because Jonathan Kongbo was extremely hyped up, and you know, he had some issues just with the communication and how he was told that he was going to play defensive tackle, and I don't think he handled it the right way, and I'm pretty sure he would go back and say the same thing, but I don't blame him one bit. I mean, you got 2 years to make the best of a situation and you pick Tennessee and then the coach tells you some things that's not true, I would be very furious too. So, you know, Jonathan Combo, he got himself a coach that cared about him, that was going to develop him. And unfortunately, the Auburn game happened. He was having a great game and, he tore his ACL. All thing he could do is really just control his attitude and his work ethic and just let the chips fall where they may. I mean, there's several opportunities out there for him. There's CFL, there's XFL, and, you know, there's the NFL. So if he just continues to work hard, he's certainly physically gifted, but, he just needs to have the right attitude, work his tail off and take everything he learned in Tennessee and use that to kind of fuel his future success.
For those that maybe haven't read it, I mean, one of his comments basically was you're getting football every single day with Jeremy Pruitt and this staff, and it wasn't like that before. So certainly a change.
It's an interesting piece on The Athletic, which I would sign up for that. It's an awesome website, and David Ubbin does a great job covering Tennessee.
Yep.
With regard to Rick Barnes, for those that don't know, I'm curious what the reaction has been in Knoxville about him basically being more honest than any coach I can ever think of in terms of why he didn't end up somewhere else, but basically saying he was trying to decide what to do, UCLA or Tennessee, and he asked God for clarity, and UCLA decided not to pony up on the buyout, and so Rick Barnes took that as a sign from God that he was supposed to be in Knoxville and stayed at Tennessee, and then asked directly if they would have covered the buyout. He said, I'd be the coach at UCLA. I'm curious to ask you to get your take on what has been the vibe in Knoxville with regard to that truth.
It's been a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, as someone that was raised to go to church every single Sunday, every single Sunday night, every Wednesday, I'm like, oh my God, you gotta go every single day, all the time? That was my thought as a youngster. But, you know, as someone that's a believer, I certainly respect those who are not, I get exactly where Rick Barnes is coming from. You know, you pray when you face with a really tough decision, and you pray for clarity, you pray for direction, you pray for a sign, and that sign could have been the snag in the buyout, and that could have been a sign for Rick Barnes to stay in Knoxville. And this is a business at the end of the day. I understand that, you know, for a lot of Tennessee fans, you know, they view their school, their athletic program, is the best in high regard, and that's good. That's great. That's what makes fans fans. But, you know, you have to understand that when Rick Barnes was growing up, UCLA was like, it was the premier basketball program. And so he would be crazy not to look at that. And, you know, they offered him a pretty good deal, but it wasn't good enough for him to leave. And I'm very fortunate that he's here in Knoxville. I think a lot of people don't see the positive impact he's had on the community because he's not a guy who's going to take selfies and post it on Instagram and say, hey, I'm out here doing good stuff. Check me out. That's not him. but he does so many things that people don't see. He has a positive impact on his community. And with Tennessee football kind of taking his time to, you know, get back to national relevance, I think it's very, very important that Rick Barnes kind of distracts the Tennessee football fan with a little bit of winning and competing for some real hardware. So I'm glad that he's here. I think the most important thing out of the whole situation that people should really realize and see, which is the biggest picture, is that Tennessee administration is now showing the fans that they're serious about winning. And they should have a trust in the administration that maybe they didn't have a couple of years ago, Coach Former, Randy Boyd working together to fight off UCLA to keep their basketball coach. So for me, that's the bigger picture, that UC administration is doing what it takes to win and finally investing in people instead of building tall buildings and think that's going to just produce wins. So that's not the way it works.
Jason Swain covers Tennessee for us up in Knoxville. Thank you, Swain. Good to talk to you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya. Y'all have a good one.